Well, good morning. It is so good to be home. It was great. I went to a conference, you probably know, and I thought it might be a good idea for you to know, why does she go there? What happens when she's there? So I come back, and I decided that I would share with you the experience. There was a pretty momentous decision or announcement that was made regarding education during the conference, and I'll share that with you too. But I wanted to let you know what is happening at Unity Village. There it is. Is it not gorgeous? Yes. I took this picture because of the beautiful sky. It just was lovely. And you get a glimpse of the tower. Next. There's the tower. And the what we call the education building is in front of it. The tower was not open when I went to school. It had been condemned. It was closed for years and years and years. And then it has been renovated. I say that. And then it was struck by lightning just a month, May, yes, so very recently. Thousands of gallons of water, because there's a water tower inside there, and it spilled all the water, you know, down. So the all that newly remodeled interior was ruined, I guess, and they moved the facilities because it is now called the Awaken Life Center. You can get massages there. You can get all kinds of things. I'm not even sure what all, facials, reflexology, and all kinds of things there. So they moved that, all those facilities, those functions to other buildings. So you can still have that work done, have those things, their services done, but they're working on the tower again. So, and you see in front of there the fountain. They completely redid the fountain a couple years ago, I think, something like that. It is stunningly beautiful. It does, you know, the different times. I don't know how to describe that. You know, up and then down, you know, all of that. It's really pretty. And the next one, this is my very favorite fountain in the whole. There are a number of fountains, but I love this one. It has that graceful shape, and the water comes up in the middle and gently spills over the side. And it is right in front of the Rose Garden. How many of you have been to Unity Village? Oh, quite a few of you. And we have a field trip planned, so this isn't brand new for you. But the weather was perfect. It was absolutely lovely. I always feel when I go there that I'm back home, because ministerial school for me was a 2-year process. I lived in Lee Summit and went to school every Monday through Thursday here. And so it is, when I drive on the grounds, it's home. You know, it is a beautiful place, always nice to go there. I went on Friday because there was a training that I had to do. I am your alternate judicatory rep for the Great Lakes region, and there was a required training on Friday night and Saturday. So I went Friday, and I stayed at the Village. The conference itself was actually at the Sheraton in Overland Park, but because I liked the ground so much, I just stayed there and made the commute back and forth, you know, all week, which was lovely for me. So I had, after Saturday, then I had Sunday, which very honestly I spent crocheting because I hadn't finished that afghan that you see downstairs. So I was crocheting away to get it finished. And then I got to go to the service at Unity Village Chapel, which is always fun. They have great music and, you know, big band kind of sounds. It was very inspiring and moving, and the weather was perfect. And then Monday they had the opening ceremony there at Unity Village Monday evening. So that was lovely too. A wonderful thing about going there for me, and this, you can't share this, but it is the reconnections, you know? I mean, I get to see whichever classmates return, they're there. I even met people because of the JR call that happens every month. I had been hearing this voice, and I knew the name for months now, you know, but I actually got to meet some of those people that I hadn't met before that are on that monthly call. So it was really nice. It was great to be there to start off the conference here at Unity Village. A lot of people checked out from Unity Village and moved over to the Sheraton. I did not. I stayed where I was. It was lovely. I kind of divided this up into major things that I thought you might be interested in, that I wanted to share with you. I had decided, Kathy and I had talked, and I had decided that I would do a series on prosperity. And I decided to base it on a book by Edwin Gaines. And she happened to be one of the presenters. Woohoo! So I went to watch Edwin. Who has seen Edwin Gaines? Anybody? Yeah. Is she not funny? She's Southern, you know, so she has these expressions, and there was one place where she was telling some story, and she said, "I just wanted to slap the snot right out of him." And she paused, and then she said, "In the most loving and unity way, of course." She's hilarious. But she starts off her presentation, and she says, "I am a powerful woman." And when she does that, she embodies it. I mean, she just is strong and powerful. She told us her story and briefly at the beginning, and how, you know, when she started this prosperity mindset, she was working two jobs and barely making ends meet, and it took over, and everything has changed. She has become a very wealthy woman. She has a gorgeous retreat center in Alabama, I believe. She had a wonderful celebration. I came away with a couple of things that I thought you might be interested in her presentation. She said that if we remember these things, and if you remember, Unity Conference is called the People's Convention. It is for, it's certainly for ministers, it's for leaders, for board, but anybody can come. So there were quite a few board members, all of that. Her presentation was sort of geared toward people who are leading churches or involved in leadership roles. But what she was telling us, and I think it's good for us to know, is people want to belong. In this age and time of churches, not just Unity, but churches across the world, I guess, or certainly the nation, attendance is dwindling, and some of us are scratching our heads saying, what do we do? But people want to belong. So when there is a commonality, a reason that we come together, we like this. We belong. This is one of the most loving congregations I've ever experienced, and who would not want to belong here? I don't know. People want to do good, and I absolutely believe this. When we do good, it feels good. So that was the second one. And people want to have a vision. I put that on there because I think it's true. We come together to be the light. This, you know, we say that all the time. Additionally, the board has decided that we will have a woman, Reverend Sharon Connors. She has a book, you might have heard of her. She's going to come and do a weekend with us, and we'll be looking at what's important to us. We'll be looking at who and what do we want to be here and now and going forward. So kind of mission, vision sort of thing. So we will have a vision. We do, but it will be expanded. And I really would take this opportunity to mention, I'd love for as many, for the whole congregation to participate in that, because the more of us that participate, the more input, the more voices are represented by whatever we come out with. So we got to see, I got to see Edwin Gaines and got a fresh start on prosperity. The second person that I think of when I think of prosperity work in Unity is this woman, Mary Morrissey. She has a program called Prosperity Plus. The synchronicity was amazing because we had talked at the board meeting about doing this program, Prosperity Plus. And she was a keynote. She was actually the keynote speaker one of the evenings, Monday or Tuesday night, I think it was. Her story is she's a very dynamic minister. She had managed to, in a church, I can't remember where, but in a church, it had grown tremendously. So it was a very prosperous church. She was very prosperous. She was well known. She was very well known for her ministry, her writing, her speaking. She was very powerful. And due to what sounds like an embezzlement by someone in the church in the early 2000s, everything crashed. You know, they say the buck stops here, and even though she did not have knowledge of it, awareness of it, the buck stops here. And so she ended up leaving her church, lost everything, but has rebuilt. She has rebuilt herself, her career, her ministry, and is indeed a very powerful woman. So one of the cool things that happened when I was there, I just stopped by their booth to say, "We're seriously thinking about doing your program back at our place." And she said, "Well, I'm really glad that you stopped by because you're here at conference, you get the instructors set free." Woohoo! So we saved $79 by me just saying, "Hey." It was great. It was great. Now, the big announcement that I mentioned, the big announcement is that what the education piece is and what it looks like, that moved from what we knew of as school to what we know of as the association. So there's going to be a whole lot of new terms here. So, okay. Just a bit of a background on it. Unity was, I think, and I'm doing this because I think it's important to know how it's structured, generally how it's structured. So Unity started and it grew, and it was kind of everything. 50 years ago, in 1966, they split into two pieces. One is, I would call it like the business piece, and the other was what we always called school. School was made up of school, education, taught classes for those of us who just wanted to gain more knowledge, take classes. It was the ministerial program, the education for the licensed teacher. So all of the education was there. It was also Daily Word Publishing. It was also Silent Unity. So those things were all what we called school. And there were various names that it was. It was Unity School of Christianity. It was Unity School of Religious Studies, and many, many more. During the presentation, Deborah Fonfelder, who gave the presentation, went through a lengthy list of all of the names. I'm surprised because I had only heard of a few of them. The association was AUC, Association of Unity Churches, and names have evolved on that too. The Association of Unity Churches, so it's like the ministry, so it's the support for ministries. It's the business side. They had support for the finances. They covered our 501c3 status for churches who didn't have their own. They have curriculum for youth. They have, they take care of the support for the ministries. So now the new names. What was school isn't school anymore because education has moved. And it is UWH, Unity Worldwide Headquarters at Unity Village. I don't think that's on there. Okay. What we knew as association is Unity Worldwide Ministries, UWM. So you'll hear me say UWM. That's what the business side is. UWM has long been a part of the making sure that those credentialed leaders that come through are ready to be credentialed, what they call licensing and ordination interviews and so forth. So they've always had that part of it. Now they have the education and the ordination piece. And they've always had, they're like four paths to ministry, and And so really just the ministerial was the only one that what was school, UWH, had. All of what they had has moved over. When I first heard about the move, I wasn't happy. I was kind of upset because of tradition, you know, because of taking classes there. It just meant so much. But as I heard more and more what they were doing, I'm pretty impressed. What I learned was that the a lot of our enrollment for the ministerial program had declined, and some of the reason was because people didn't want to move. They didn't want to pick up and leave for now 3 years. At the same time, what we know of as the urban school in Detroit, that enrollment had increased significantly because it was more online. People did not have to leave. So they took all that in mind, and the new ministerial program that has been announced and is effective in September is a non-residential program now. And so it will be mostly online, and there will be a couple of trips to the village each year during the process to make sure everything's going well. A lot of people actually, when you say online, they roll their, oh no, you know, because unfortunately sometimes online learning is not very much fun. It's kind of boring. So. But I haven't seen it, but what I've been told is that they were able to get a platform called Blackboard. I should mention that all of this was available because of Templeton Foundation gave us a lot of money to be able to do this. And so Blackboard, we got the premier version. So it is like, who knows what Skype is or FaceTime? Yeah, oh, okay. So it's kind of like you see the instructor, you see the participants, and it's interactive. So it isn't just some computer that, you know. There's the ability to have breakout rooms, so then just a few people can go off and do their thing and then come back to a larger group. And one thing I thought was wonderful is later, we out here in the field will have the ability to use that platform for our own training, our own classes. So like right now, Thursday night, half of the people who came were from New Name, Unity of St. Louis South. It's the church on Bayless. They went with branding. Half of them were from Bayless and half were here. So imagine in the future, you know, we could have a class at any of the churches and everybody participate without having to drive anywhere. You know? Those who are taking classes for credit or just want to take the classes, it'll be a great thing, I think. Speaking of education, I want to teach you something that we learned. Ellen Devenport, she's on our website on the front page. There's a little spiel from Ellen Devenport. She was the minister in Dallas when I went down there, so I really like Ellen. So she gave a wonderful keynote speech, and she talked about how someone had showed her how to do Yay God. You know how I always say Yay God at the end of our circle? So she was talking. She said, you want to know how to do it? And we all went, yeah. So I'm going to teach you Yay God. Okay. Yay. Yay. God. Yay. God. Now, she had a microphone in the other hand, so I'm not sure if it should be Yay God or Yay God. But I saw it both ways. Okay, business meeting. Okay, a business meeting is business. You know, there's not too much exciting I can say about this, but I want to make a couple of points about this. Our new president is Karen Tudor, very capable, competent woman. She was an associate under Howard Caesar. Who knows who Howard Caesar is? A few of you. He is a ministry. He's been in ministry like 40 years. He has the pyramid in Houston. So if you've heard of the pyramid, that's Howard Caesar. To be serving as associate to Howard is pretty good training. So Karen was that. The outgoing president of UWM board is a man named Tim Alderman. And he was the very first layperson, a board member, to be the president of UWM. Things went along fine until we got to ordination time for the classes, the people who were going to be ordained as ministers. It is traditional that the person who is the president of the UWM board ordains the new ministers. I was ordained by Diane Sickler. For those of you who have been around some of the churches here, she had the church on Bayless several ministers ago. So here's Tim, and he's not a minister, and there was an outcry. A lot of people in the movement were upset that a non-minister person was going to, they were talking about having him ordained. So I was very impressed with what he said. He said that they heard the outcry, and so he thought that there needed to be a policy so they wouldn't have to go back over this road again. He said that what they did was they set up a sort of a progression, I guess, and if the president isn't an ordained minister, then it goes to, I think it was like the first chair. And if that person isn't an ordained minister, then second chair. They have a whole line of who will be the person that will ordain new ministers, because it will be an ordained minister that does the function. I was very impressed that they heard the complaint or the concern, they did something about it and set it up. I have liked for several years the transparency that I have seen at UWM over these past few years. Donna Johnson spoke and was very inspiring, I guess would be the word I would, for myself. I am very much impressed with how she has managed the finances. When she got there, things were kind of crazy, and they've downsized, but now they're running in the black, and they're doing some wonderful things. There we're not going to read all of it, but they issued, and you can find this on the website, their website, a declaration of interdependence. There, through the years, there has been conflict between these two, UWH school, UWM association, and Donna Johnson or Charlotte Shelton has been on the UWH side, and Donna Johnson is on the UWM side. They came up with this declaration of interdependence, which I think is amazing. And it is because of the move of education to UWM, and then the wondering, where is it going to be? And it talks in here about whether they're going to have it at the facilities of the school or not. It's apparently a much more complex question than one would think. It's not just a matter of agreeing on an amount. I think bylaws are involved in all kinds of stuff. But they wrote this. They have intentions. They mentioned all five principles and wrote about that. The very last paragraph is what I wanted to share with you. Therefore, Unity World Headquarters and Unity Worldwide Ministries declare an interdependent, transparent, and loving relationship with one another going forward. We are working together for the well-being of Unity. We know this mutually loving and supportive relationship exemplifies our true calling and our true purpose in Unity. This day, December 23rd, 2015, we affirm our oneness in God and we affirm our unity in Unity. And it's signed by Donna and Charlotte and then the all of the board members of that. So they intend to work together for all of this, which is impressive. So that takes us all the way up through the business meeting. I had a few more weekends that I did, workshops that I did, seminars and so forth. And then I was ready to come home. I stayed through lunch on Friday. I drove home, picked up the dogs, And then Saturday was a busy day. It was our Pride Fest here, and which was a lovely day, and Jerry and Omar just put tons of Jerry, when I happen to know Omar, put a lot of effort in all of the magnets and stuff, all the setup sort of thing. And then the people who came and worked, Neil was one. He was there bright and early. He was there when I got there. And who else came? Yes, and Mary was there. I met Mary there. Hi, how are you? So Pride Fest was Saturday. And then we had a wedding in the afternoon, which was Doug and Janine. Yay, Doug. Well, I knew, you know, those things were going to be happening on Saturday. I knew that I wouldn't really have much time during the week, so I had already set things up so that Vernetta would be speaking last Sunday. And I had intended to be here. And I want to show you why I wasn't here last week. This is the newest addition to my little family at home. This is Kirby. I've been waiting, or I filled out an application, I guess, for a Sheltie with the Rescue Sheltie group last November. And this little guy came from Tennessee. We didn't have any dogs coming in. I use that term loosely. St. Louis didn't have any dogs coming in, really, hardly. I wanted a male specifically. And so the director here said, well, you might look at some of the other states, and in particular Tennessee, because we have a close working relationship with them. It's okay, great. So I did, and I found out that they had Kirby, and I started talking with the foster parents, the foster mom, and she started sending pictures. And he is only about 14 pounds, so he's small. And he's just the cutest thing. Anyway, so then the foster parents said that they could fly. He has a small plane license, so he could fly him to Sykeston. Yay, because then I thought I might have to drive to Nashville, honestly. So I was ready to do that because I think he's just darling. So fly to Sykeston. Yes, okay, I can do that. And then they said, where do you live? And I said, well, I live in St. Peter's. And they said, we could fly him to Chesterfield Airport. Yay, the spirit of St. Louis. So they said, what time? And I said, you tell me the time, I'll be there. So I met them about 10:30 last Sunday morning and picked up Kirby, and that's why I wasn't here. But he is just amazing. I just love him. Well, I wanted you to hear about my trip. I wanted you to hear some of the things that are going on. The movement is changing and shifting. I am very impressed. This is what I told Mitzi. I'm so impressed with the energy and the transparency and the efforts to make things even better as we go along in the future. I'm very optimistic about our unity future, and I thought you would like to know more about that too. So Mitzi's going to transition us into our contemplation time. Breathe out all fear. Just let it go. invite you now, if you haven't already, to gently close your outer eyes. We are here in love. As I think about the love that I feel for my human family, for my canine family, and for my newly adopted church family, my heart swells. I invite you to bring to mind those that make your heart swell. Those that bring a smile to your face. Those that enable you to put aside and forget for a moment any difficulties or challenges, any of the bad news. Because it is love that is truth. It is the truth of our beings. It is love that transcends time and space. We probably all have friends that we know that all we have to do is pick up the phone and call, and the conversation will go on as if it were just restarted from the day before, even if it has been years. Love is that bond that makes us and reminds us that we are one. It is always so easy to become alarmed when we hear some of the news, when we hear someone complain about this or that. Fear can arise. We may wonder what's going to happen to us. But then we remember love. We know that as we sit with that experience, that feeling, that fullness of love, we are able to connect with people in a totally different way. Love allows us to hear between the lines. What we call listening through Christ's ears. Love allows us to see, not necessarily the objective, factual things of what our eyes are viewing, but it allows us to see through Christ's eyes and see truth. To see hurt under belligerent behavior. To see need under someone's false and brave facade. And it allows us, love allows us to be love in expression, to meet those needs. As best we can, as we are expressing the Christ in us, the love in us. As we do each week, we like to set aside time for silence to commune, to connect with that divinity, that power within. And today we might focus on the love. So as we sit in the silence, we might just think about the truth of us as love. In the silence. And what we may well notice when we have taken the time to be silent and to contemplate love, we may notice that we come away from that time feeling expansive, feeling peaceful, feeling a quiet joy. It is with great gratitude that we recognize and allow that we are love in expression. It is with gratitude that we set an intention to choose to be love in this world. And it is with gratitude that we come together with our loving families, with our loving church family, as we recite together the words that our master teacher, our way shower, taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.